So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young, alongside my partner, Les Thatcher.
And computer illiterate.
And the computer illiterate,
yes. Man. I got a new Razer phone, and I just try to transfer in the numbers without knowing anything about the SIM card, and one to the other is just insane. Let's go back to the old crank phone. And
technology was created just to confuse you.
I'm going to have to go back to college to learn to use this phone. that's one of the more frustrating things in my life currently.
Well, yeah, there's so much out there. There's so much to learn.
World disaster, oil prices, this is my phone, man.
Right.
speaking of things being on fire, I guess TNA literally was on fire.
Oh, yeah, that pay-per-view was hot.
I heard that. I haven't read that more than 4,000 times in the last 24 hours.
They're singing Billy Joel up in there.
Or 36 hours. Well, yeah. One thing, they did well under pressure, I guess. They pulled the one match, they dealt with it. That's which is good.
Let's lay it out for the people that been under a rock the last couple days, don't know what's up. But at TNA's Hard Justice pay-per-view event on Sunday in Orlando, a fire broke out at the top of the impact zone, set off by the pyros, causing close to a 30-minute delay as the company was live on pay-per-view. The fire first became noticeable during the first match on the pay-per-view between Eric Young and Johnny Devine, as TNA officials started spraying fire extinguishers at the top of the impact zone. So as a result, the impact zone is filled with smoke caused by the fire itself and the fire extinguishers. It was pretty hard to see anywhere. I guess they put visibility at about 2 feet during that match. So after that, Mike Tenay, Don West, they stalled for a little bit, aired some promos, did some backstage stuff. While the impact zone was evacuated, and the Orlando Fire Department showed up about 30 minutes later, and due to the 30-minute delay, the scheduled four-way tag team involving America's Most Wanted, the James Gang, the Naturals, and Kazarian and Matt Bentley was pulled from the show. And instead, they taped that last night at the Impact tapings, and we'll probably be seeing that on Thursday on TNA's Impact.
And they've got new tag team champions, which is a spoiler, too, I guess. That's not until a week from Thursday, but whatever. They dealt with it. You know, that's people, that kind of pressure. I've never been in a fire, when you host and produce a television show all at the same time, you know, you're juggling a lot of balls, and no pun intended in the chat room. when you come down, there's last-second changes, and you got to deal with them. On more than one level in that case. You know?
Right.
But, yeah, it can be a stressful job, so I guess, and they handled it well. I guess the Jarrett winning the belt on the Christian turn wasn't the greatest idea in all of wrestledom.
No.
No. The people are looking for something different. And see, here's the deal. You waved the red flag at him. You waved Cornette. We got to get Cornette on the show to talk about that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, here, okay, the voice of reason, the man of sanity, the guy, you know, and this still this stuff still persists. I mean, it frustrates me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
I always wanted, Christian, I think I said it a couple of weeks ago on the show that I would like to have seen Christian turn heel and stuff like that, but it was just so predictable.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. We've been down this road, have we not?
Yes.
Right? You know, it's like, gee, you think Randy Orton's going to hit on Hulk Hogan's daughter?
Right, right. It's the same thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just everything is so predictable, and it's and to me, that's the only thing as a performer, as a professional wrestler, athlete, artist, call it whatever you like, that's actually the main, the biggest bullet in my arsenal, I guess I should say.
Is the element of surprise, yeah.
Yes, exactly, and that's what hooks people into watching Lost if they watch that on the network,
mm-hmm.
right? Or to see what is going to happen, the twists and turns. One of my favorite shows just started second season on Showtime last night, Weed. And now, as stupid as that sounds, but it's about a housewife, you know, who is in an upper middle class, atmosphere, and the husband is gone, and she has no way to support her kids, so she starts selling grass to the, you know, to the people in the community, and of course it's satire, you know,
right?
But it's serious and it's funny also, but it is. My wife is normally not into that sort of thing. I'm the guy who gets into all the satire,
right?
But after watching a few episodes last year, she got into it as well. And we, you know, it's starting in last. But again, part of it is just when you think you got it figured out, you don't have it figured out.
Right.
You know?
I think I've heard of that show. And RVD, he gave it 2 bongs up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even know RVD. But of course he's seen it. Well, you know what? I didn't even know it was going to be. I just stumbled on last year. But,
right.
But really, we really got it. And it was funny. It was, but... But again, it's funny whether it's funny or drama, whatever it is, the element of surprise, I think, and I think that's lacking.
Absolutely.
To a great degree. You know, Pat Patterson is not only out of the ICU, he is, I guess, going home the next couple of days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he went to stable, and he had that 4-hour surgery. He had a cyst removed from his main artery. But, I heard that he was stable and he was doing a lot better, and I didn't know he was going home. That's great news.
He'll be back playing golf in no time.
That's great.
He loves the game. That's
let's get Pat a call too, and maybe get him on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to if we can get it done.
For you guys in the chat room that are listening right now, we know that we're not in the chat room right now, but for some reason it seems to be down. I know some people, you know, get in the chat room, and some people don't have the problems that I seem to have, because I go straight through the website to do it, and they have these programs called IRC, where you can get in there anytime or whatever. But if you're in the chat room, hang in there. We're trying to get in, and we'll be in there as soon as we can.
Yeah, cool, because we like the feedback from the Peanut Gallery.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. Ring of Honor had a great tour in England. I hear one of my boys, Nigel, and Brian Danielson tore it down in the unification match of the Pure and the regular World Ring of Honor title, which is, to me, is great. You know, Nigel's from that area. They had like 1,100 or 1,400 or whatever it was in Liverpool, and he got to be the attraction. And I talked to him, you know, a couple weeks before he went over, and he was fired up, just hoping he could do the job. From what I've read, the whole show was very successful, and I'm real happy for him. B.J. Whitmer, another one of my kids on the tour, and good. And Chad Collier.
Yeah, Ring of Honor's tearing up England.
Chad spent the summer over there. I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's back this week sometime. And I guess he'll go back to teaching school in the fall full-time. But he and his wife spent most of the summer in Europe with him wrestling in the offseason. So,
nah.
Yeah, so we ought to go get him on. He should have some stories from the road.
Speaking of friends, I have to give big ups to my friend, Jimmy Jacobs, who was in a dark match at the TNA Hard Justice pay-per-view on Sunday.
That's why the place was burning down.
Yes, you rock, Jimmy.
He set his furry boots on fire. All right.
Well, he doesn't wear the furry boots anymore, actually.
Yeah, I heard that he was there. Yeah.
I think he retired. I think he retired the boots and that whole outfit. But Jimmy Jacobs, and he's going to. I spoke with Jimmy the other day. He's going to be on the show in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be talking about, of course, what's going on with
Jimmy
him right now.
Talk about Jimmy Jacobs.
That's right. And he was at the TNA pay-per-view, and he knows the whole deal, what went down, and we're going to see it from the locker room perspective.
Okay. Did he have his photo phone and took pictures of the fire?
No, I don't think he did. Okay. Knowing Jimmy, he probably was the first one out.
Yeah.
He probably shoved a couple of people out of the way.
A little more, really. Negative news. I guess Angle had another hernia problem over the weekend, but I guess he's going to tough it out through tonight through SummerSlam, whatever. I'm not sure. There's, you know, for the reasons to tone it down, and you know, oh, you're jealous because you can't do 45 flip dives at the same time, and you're old, and you're, you know, and all the nonsense. The truth is, I mean, this guy's young. He should have a half dozen or more years solid ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. What is he, 7 years in?
Yeah. Well, you know, and he started a little later than most of them, but that's not even the point, you know? It's, you know, it's...
That's half a career for a lot of people,
exactly.
7 years
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a shame. I mean, it honestly is.
But yeah, he's really been pushing himself, of course, just coming back from this injury, and now another groin pull, and he's going to have to tough it out tonight on ECW.
Yeah, and in a ladder match of all things.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be pretty. I think we're going to see a lot of Angle laying down outside the ring.
Well, we're talking about wrestlers and wrestling. Dr. Tom and I are venturing to Denver next month. It will be in Denver the 8th and 9th, Red Lion Hotel, which is where we're staying, which is where the two-day training camp is, and where Fusion Pro Wrestling is running their show on Saturday night. And we're there for Altitude Pro Wrestling Academy, and you can go to altitudeprowrestling.com for more information. But come out and we're going to have a good time. Some good wrestlers in that part of the country, and be EPWT's third visit out there. And we are looking forward to it. And, of course, Harley's got the 19th through the 23rd of September. Is the NOAH camp. This is be the third one, and five of the NOAH superstars are going to be in the house.
All right.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's a chance for somebody to get a deal to go to train in Japan with NOAH, work on their shows, and possibly work out a long term relationship with them if everything goes well.
Oh yeah, in the wrestling world, training in Japan, actually just having some experience in Japan is like the equivalent of having a doctorate.
Yeah, it really is. It's all good, man. It's all good. And you get more info on that or sign up at harleyrace.com, too.
Excellent. Then, now, I have an appearance to push here.
Wait a minute. Hold on here. All right, go ahead.
Since we're plugging, I'm going to be appearing at Frontier Elite Wrestling. That's going to be on this Friday, at the brand new Hendricks County Fairgrounds in Danville, Indiana. It's about 20 miles west of Indianapolis. Inside the Expo Hall at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers, is going to be in the house.
I read somewhere where Ramosh is going to be there.
This is what I'm hearing. It's rumors, but...
And I don't know anything about the few, but if this is the real one, tell him I said hello and give him my best. I worked those kids in Smoky, man. I love them both. They're good kids.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be door prizes, karaoke before the show. It's $10 per ticket, $8 for the kiddies. You can see more information.
Karaoke contest, are you going to be part of that too?
I am going to be the MC.
Of course you are.
I will not be singing, though.
I remember when they used to have wrestling at wrestling shows. It was an exciting concept.
I know, but this is kind of like, it's a little bit of everything.
Do you have music, too, as a ring announcer?
No.
No? I see ring announcers that have music. I think, Jesus, everybody is a janitor.
I know. I was talking to the promoter, and I was like, well, you know, I have this little image. Can I wear my hat backwards? No. Can I wear some sunglasses?
And he turned out to wrestle some. A kid we called Hoss from up northern Ohio. Nice kid. Big guy, but anyway, he did ring announcing, and you know, I didn't think, because of the era, I didn't think much of it, and he'd wear the sports shirts with the fire coming up from the bottom, and he'd spike his, you know, do his hair spiky,
right,
in colors to correspond with the shirt, and which I thought, okay, cool, and then they gave him music, I thought, all right, you know, whatever, I mean, believe me, I'm a lot more flexible than my reputation. I mean, if it makes sense, I'm cool with it, right? But I did make it. I'm thinking, Jesus, everybody's got music, you know.
Right.
Hey, here's Bill the Concessionaire. And you
comes out with some M&Ms.
And Janet taking tickets.
Pyro's.
And her music, too.
Pyro's start coming out. He's got boxes of M&Ms.
It's called going from the, you know, from to the absurd, right? But anyway... this guy, he was a good kid. He could sing. He was a good entertainer in a lot of different ways. He was a good athlete. Anyway, long story short, we start doing our TV in Louisville, you know, and Corny's going to come in and help me on Sundays. and co-host with me sometimes. So anyway, the first weekend, I'm never even thinking. And Jimmy's walking through, I'm out front, you know, and Jimmy's walking through the dressing room, and he sees Haas with the wild shirt and the hairdo, and he's, what's your gimmick? And Haas is a ring announcer. Jimmy thought he was ribbing. Well, you know, I said, when in Rome, and Jimmy just went berserk. This is a ring announcer? He said, when the ring announcers become the show? Anyway, Haas went back to plain shirts, putting his hair where it belonged, and doing it. He didn't become the show on our team, which was, you know, again, it's just a case of me being liberal. But I honestly see where Jimmy's coming from. It's just,
well, yeah, somebody like Jim Ross, you know, a few years back, they got into it with Vince so bad that it almost cost him his job because he didn't want to put on a cowboy hat and call himself JR.
Yeah.
And you know,
well, see, I think so. I think to a certain degree some of it's absurd, and I do. You know, I there's a point. You know, where I mean, it's okay. You know, listen, it's like okay. Well, hey, Vince makes fun of himself.
Right.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't subject anybody to any more ridicule than he does himself.
Exactly.
And I agree, but then that doesn't mean it's not sophomoric, or that doesn't mean that it really doesn't, you know, sometimes fit. I mean, it's like the Randy Orton thing last night. They just been there, done that. It didn't fly the first time, and it was even worse the second time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know? Well, and I'm sure somebody chuckled at it, but I can't imagine for the life of me who, or if they've been drug tested. You know, I just stuff like that. Just, you know.
Well, this Friday, you won't see me with a backwards hat. You won't see me with sunglasses. I won't even have my cane, but I will be wearing my new pimped-out suit that I just bought today.
Well, okay, I'm glad to hear that. I can't wait to see a picture of that.
I'll get you some pictures on the website.
Please, yeah, 8x10.
For more information, check out FrontierElitewrestling.com on that.
Yeah, please do. Oh, and our friend from that does Hot Topic with us and does The Observer, Brad Alvarez, is going back to wrestling.
Really?
Yeah, well, they had some discussion on his website, or on his message board, I guess, and he was ribbing, I suppose, and told the people that write on there, so we raise $400 and I'll go back. And the pot, I guess, got higher than $400.
Oh, boy.
He's going to have to wrestle again.
Oh, God, I wish we'd have had him tonight now. I'll call in next week.
That's why I was hoping.
We're bringing him in next week for sure. I'll drag him here if we have to. We're going to be talking about that.
Drag him. Okay.
I'll go over there and drag. Well, I'll have somebody big do it. But anyway.
I got you. Okay.
Back to the wrestling news.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yeah. Virginia's NBC affiliate WVIR-TV is reporting that charges have been filed against Ken Doan stemming from an incident with a fan last month.
Oh, I read it, and it's just so, I mean, well, the guy just basically said, look, I'm going to create a problem here, right? Because he told, I mean, he was interviewed that day right after it happened or something. And says, I'm going to file to get a warrant out, and nobody's going to stop me.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, hey, I'm going to be in the spotlight over that. It's just like, see, and here's the thing, Doc. Here's the troubling thing with that. How much, is it real or is it Memorex? I don't know. And you have to be in that position, I guess, to really realize that people take advantage of those things.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just like when we had Ole on. Ole, you know, was almost lost his life to a guy who knifed him and only knocked the guy on his butt and knocked him out. And the guy sued Ole.
Right.
So, and Ole had to legitimately defend himself, although he's the one with the knife scars.
Right. I heard stories about robbers, the breaking in the house, and the homeowner shoots them, and they try to sue.
Yeah, speaking of sublime to the ridiculous, the whole thing with Cena's dad.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, with a camera crew, you're going to walk in and abuse a man in his own home. That's called breaking and entering, and Lord knows whatever else you might. I mean, but see, here again, we have stepped. There's a fine line between reality and absurdity, or reality and fantasy. Or the Three Stooges and Law and Order. There's a fine line there,
mm-hmm.
Right? And now, had John's dad. Had, you know, see, to me, to do this, I would have wanted to start doing it back. Well, if it had to blow it off last night, I would have had John's dad in the audience and just let JR 3 weeks ago or something casually, hey, there's John Cena's dad. Dad's on a vacation this summer, and one of the things he's doing is traveling with John.
Yeah.
Now we have a reason to have Dad Cena in the house.
Right.
Right? Okay. And then in the house, there's always a chance of a camera being around because guess what? We are doing a live television show here. And then there is also a odds on chance that somewhere during this time when John and Dad are separated, Dad may walk past Edge, which gives Edge the opportunity to be a jackass.
Right.
But that and now you can send people home mumbling to themselves like Flair and Foley did 3 weeks ago when you said, my God, did he really step over the line? Are they really mad at him? Well, yes, they really. There really is a dislike there, but they're making money with it.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, I don't know, somebody may have given them guidelines of which to go, but those weren't scripted promos. That was Rick. That was the Rick and Mick show.
Mm-hmm.
But you get my point?
Yeah.
Okay. The whole thing. Yeah. Hey, we're going to run up to Boston and break into. Come on. I mean, at least with the Pillman thing, because I was there, you know, it was like, okay, we're filming this thing at Brian's home because of the surgery, right?
Right.
But we're not advertising that Stone Cold will be there and trying to break in. That's something that just happened,
mm-hmm.
right? And they sold it once. But you can't, but it's just, you get my point?
Yeah.
Where it becomes, it belongs on the Sci-Fi Channel, or it belongs, you know, on the Cartoon Channel, opposed to where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, if that's your bag, but it's not mine, and I can't believe that there are other people that don't feel the same. Well, I know there are, for a matter, you know. It's just, but the thing, what Pete, Irish Pete said a few weeks back, everybody's just too complacent.
Yeah.
You know? It's not really cool, but what else am I going to do? I'm too lazy to pick up the remote, or I'm too lazy to call and say, hey, why don't you do something better for me?
That's kind of what they want, too, I think.
What do you mean?
They just want fans to boo and cheer and spend their money and just shut up, you know?
To me, it's just all too much, and I did this in a column a few weeks ago. It's just all too much, hey, we're going to go screen these sayings and stuff, even though we don't know what they half of mean. Or we could, you know, just so we can get, maybe we can get on, if we got a cool sign or my girlfriend's got cleavage, we can get on TV.
Yeah.
You get my point?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's not even about the wrestling anymore. You know, it's, and the whole, I know where you'll be Wednesday night if I need you at 10 o'clock Eastern. You'll be watching the finals of the Divas on USA, you know?
Probably.
And I watched this last night and I thought, this is not even adult entertainment. Right? I mean, we have these six girls who all in their own right are very beautiful, squirting water and throwing balloons at each other in the middle of a wrestling ring with an idiot running around with his hair spiked, calling it play by play, and people like the man chuckling on the other part of this radio, this talk show, has his hands in places that I wouldn't put my hands.
Oh, Les.
Saying, oh, God, isn't this... I can't wait till Wednesday night. Jesus. And when I say get a grip, I mean get a grip.
You just don't like it because you know Layla's going to win, and you know the ending.
That would be my call. I would favor that person. I would.
So you're not interested because you know how it's going to end.
Well, I don't know. I really don't. And don't really care, quite frankly. That's... I mean, I don't know. I'm like you. I'm not like you. I'm like the vast majority. I just watch it because it happens to be there.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but, hey, TJ is hot, though.
Is it just me? I don't find them bouncing around all the time when they're standing there shaking and you know it's all contrived and it's not really because they are horny or because they want you.
Right.
Well, I know you. Yes, she's looking at me right through that TV set.
I'll admit the majority of them don't want me, okay?
Okay. Well, they probably would want you, but, you know.
A couple of them do, but that's another story.
No, but you get my... I mean, it's just, to me, it's just so, okay, this is... I'm out of high school, and I just really not into it, you know?
You know what gets me is that with the whole... Diva search, throughout the whole thing again this year, I realized once again just how many different ways there are to shake your ass.
Yeah.
It's a...
Well, see, but that's just it. That is their talent. And to me, I can do the same thing. I'm probably not going to win a $250,000 contract.
It's like an art. It's something you take for granted.
But then here in a few hours, we're going to watch poor Kelly,
oh, God.
Who was put on the fast track without a driver's license or a race car.
Or a steering wheel.
I mean, it's like deer in the headlights. It's just like, please, come on, you know. The young talent that may have possibilities should be protected, not just thrown out to the wolves. And I'm not even going to get into all that, but I just thought, you know, the whole thing with seeing his dad last night, and like I say, it done to where maybe I can, you know, if they can suspend my disbelief like Flair and Foley did, I say, cool, man, I'm into that.
Here's another thing that that made me think about you during Raw last night. John Cena went home to go take care of his dad because Edge went beat him up. How did he get back to Raw so fast and, you know, jump out there and get Edge? He must have took a Learjet.
Well, you know what? When you got that kind of money, you just rent those things, right? You don't take commercial flights.
Well, sure. Even if he had his own jet, I still don't see how he could have made it back in time.
Well, I don't know. And why did his dad, you know, the EMTs or the police are much closer.
Right.
In Charlottesville, Virginia. I don't know now. Maybe my geography's real bad, but I think I'm closer in Cincinnati than to Charlottesville than probably Boston area.
Right.
But, no, you know, yeah, see, but there's no logic, right? It was just like when Chavo was retiring, but why does he keep following the why does he keep showing up in every city that SmackDown's in to tell us he's retiring?
Right.
Has he got nothing better to do with his money or his time? You see my point? I mean, there's no validity to it, and there's no thought in it. And when I say it, I don't say it with, I'm not mad or, you know, I'm not being, I'm sad. It saddens me that nobody cares.
It's just a little frustrating.
Well, it is if you've spent your life in the business and you know how it's supposed to be done, yes.
Well, it's frustrating for me, and it's not. I mean, I haven't spent my life in the business. I can't imagine what it's like for you. Back to the news.
Send money.
Yeah, just send less some sympathy money.
Yes.
We'll put a link up on the website,
bills
guys.
They're less weighty and stuff more of them than not.
If you send him enough money, he'll be able to produce the Les Thatcher Show.
And, no, he doesn't want to do that.
And,
He would like to sell you some coffee, but later for that.
We'll have an infomercial with Les on it, just selling coffee.
Right, okay.
PW Insider reports that Joey Styles made a special appearance at ECW's house show in White Plains, New York on Sunday to announce that when WWE returns to Madison Square Garden for a taping of Monday Night Raw on September 11th, ECW is going to tape for Sci-Fi that night as well. So, Madison Square Garden, ECW is going to have their first taping in the garden.
Wow.
And that's going to be on a very special day, of course. So let's hope that they use some sensitivity and not have Muhammad Hussein come out with a bottle of Gatorade and a camera. You know? Please, guys. I know you were thinking about it back there in the creative room. Don't do it.
You know what? I don't think there's a lot of thought going on in the creative room.
Yeah.
I'm not real sure. I don't think so.
No. Hulk Hogan informed WWE on Wednesday that he was going to be at the Raw taping, of course, yesterday. He was there. And he's going to be in for SummerSlam this weekend. Hogan was everywhere last week in New York, appearing on Live with Regis and Kelly. He was at the Pokemon Festival later that afternoon and did CNN's Showbiz Today that night. Hogan did plug SummerSlam on the appearance, but did note that at his age and with his injuries, he really shouldn't be wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, he's taking it easy.
I'm saying okay. I don't know, but I at 53, it's with a with replacements, I'd say yeah, it's cool to quit. I'm up with that.
Absolutely. And as you know, throwing a bone for those wrestling fans that watch The Surreal Life, Sports Illustrated has confirmed that Randy Savage will be appearing on the new season of The Surreal Life on
VH1.
Macho Man in the house.
That'll be a trip.
That is going to be. You know, every year the cast has one guy that you think he's going to be crazy, but he's really real quiet and mellow and doesn't really do anything.
When China was on, or excuse me,
oh,
Joni,
God, yes.
Joni,
yes.
The little midget guy from the
Troy Verner.
Yeah.
Or Vern Troyer. I got his name separated, but yeah. Vern Troyer.
He was, I thought, all right. He's going to use the bathroom in the middle of the floor, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, come on. you know what? There's one of the things, except for the husband and wife, where they swap wives. Everybody has to go get drunk or something, right? So there has to be. I mean, it's supposed to be reality, but in reality, everybody doesn't do that.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, we're training these athletes. Well, it's like Tough Enough. Hey, we're all going out and get drunk. Okay, that's part of the curriculum at OVW, isn't it? No, I don't think so. Anyway.
That's why people want to see it.
Huh?
That's why people want to see it. It's not an everyday thing, you know.
Well, no, but you know what's not an everyday thing is what's going on in the training.
Yeah, that's true.
You can see Doc, I'm sure, within five blocks, well, maybe not, but, you know, within a mile radius of your home, you can probably see a drunk tonight if you really want to go see a drunk. I don't think you need to turn your TV on for that.
But will he be entertaining?
Well, maybe more so.
Is he a drunk?
Most of the Miz has made a life out of reality, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's in better shape than we are.
It's always it's always more interesting to see celebrities drunk. I'm sorry. I'm waiting for something to happen.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
It's junk food.
Okay.
It's junk food for the brainless.
Okay. Whatever you say, Doc.
Sometimes you want chips.
I'm with you, Doc.
Sometimes you want steak. Sometimes you want chips, my friend.
Okay. But Wednesday night, don't forget, USA at 10 o'clock, join Doc Young.
That's right.
And all the other degenerates.
In watching.
Yes.
Yes, the Diva Search finale.
Yes, from the Hard Rock Cafe in downtown New York.
And watch Layla win. Got some great guests tonight, of course. Cheerleader Melissa is going to be in the house. She's awesome. Did you get the matches that were sent?
Yeah.
Did you watch them?
I've worked with Melissa in training camps and put her in. She's been in matches on our shows for 4 years out in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm a very big fan of Melissa's, and yeah, she's. I'll tell you what is. I like watching her train with the guys, and when I say that, I don't mean that in any wrong way. But she is more aggressive sometimes than the guys.
Yeah, sometimes the guys.
She's out there. She's out there to do business. She's a good-looking young lady, but she's out there to be a wrestler.
And she's got some stiff forearms.
She's never hit me with her forearm. But she's.
They look devastating, but yeah, she doesn't do a lot of interviews, so it's kind of a special thing for us to have her tonight, and I'm going to enjoy that interview.
Yeah, and she can tell you about her trip to Japan. She's had dark matches with WWE, and we'll get to talk about all that good stuff, man.
Absolutely, and of course, Kevin Kelly coming up next, former WWE announcer, and. He's a regular.
And more than just that, and we'll get into that when he gets back. He and I work together in a developmental program.
Yeah. So all that stuff coming back. When we come back from this break, you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. Don't go anywhere, guys. And, yes, we're still trying to get in the chat room, so hang in there. We'll be in there.
Business advances web hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
The latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh, my God.
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an ass man. Yeah. I love to love 'em. I love to kick 'em. I love to shove 'em. I love to stick 'em. Love to flaunt 'em. I love to watch 'em. I love to pick 'em. And I'm gonna kick 'em.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name's Adam.
And we are back here on Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you right now. Well, I got to tell you, we couldn't really get a hold of Kevin. We're going to call him a little bit later. He's kind of tied up at the moment right now. But we do have on the line right now, all the way from California, it's cheerleader Melissa. Boy, there's so much to say about her that we're just going to get into it. Yeah, Melissa, I want to first off thank you for being on the program tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Hey, I tell you what, Doc, this is a great young lady. I've had the opportunity to work with her for 4 years after the CC training, and she's been a match there. And if you've seen Shimmer, she's got a great future in this business. We're going to one of the things that I is there's more family in this than just her. Her dad wrestled as well.
That is correct. He was a wrestler.
Is that what got you the bug? Is because of your dad?
Of course. Because of my dad, I grew up in the pro wrestling environment. We went to shows when I was a little girl. We went to WWE. At the time, whenever WWF at the time, whenever they would come to Los Angeles, my uncle Billy Anderson would usually be the ring announcer, so it was cool. When I was young, I had to go backstage and meet some of the wrestlers and get autographs. And he got involved, had his own promotion, so we were constantly around it and had independent wrestlers come to our house, and it was just kind of a normal lifestyle I lived growing up around pro wrestling.
Billy Anderson was your uncle? I did not know that.
Yes, he is.
That's a cool little trivia.
Yes, your dad didn't make it to Cactus. How's his health doing now?
His health is doing fine now. He's doing great. He now lives in Oregon, and get this, he got married.
Is that right?
He got married, yes.
Oh, all right. And she whisked him away to Oregon, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, now he'll have to learn to live on his own. Melissa was taking care of him all this time. Listen, we were talking about Cauliflower Alley, Doc, and this year... Melissa had, well, there were five girls, but it came down to her in the end of the girls' match, elimination match, with a young lady with 18 years of experience from Japan, Yoshida. Tell Doc a little bit about your background with her. You trained with her when you were in Japan, right?
Yes, I did. She was our main trainer in Tokyo, Japan. I lived out there for about 4 months. And out of all the senior talent, I will tell you that Yoshida definitely trains the hardest. She was there almost every single day, and she just loves training and loves just learning. She's constantly learning. One of the things I admired about her was even though she's been wrestling for 18 years, when she came to Cauliflower Alley, she wasn't used to our American drills. They don't do that over in Japan. And she was so excited to, you know, give it her best and try out these new drills so she could take that back to Japan and train her young girls some American techniques as well. So that's what I really love about her. She, after 18 years, she has always continues to learn.
Yeah, I think if there's any independent wrestlers listening to this conversation, the key, that's Doc was amazing because with 18 years of experience, this young lady's 36, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And when she would finish something, she would come to us and say, okay, tell me. You know, she's still trying to learn. And that's the key to staying fresh or to moving up in this business is never to stop learning. And I think, like Melissa says, it's a tribute to her passion and respect for the industry. And now, she runs a promotion over there too, doesn't she, Liz?
Yes, she probably for about a year now, she has her own promotion called Ibuki. From what I understand, I may not have the meaning exactly, but Ibuki, I believe, means like breath of fresh air, meaning this is a whole new, the direction she's going with her promotion is obviously really tough female pro wrestling, probably not too showy, but really displays women athletes as pro wrestlers, and she's even had some shoot fighter wrestlers on her promotion as well, so it's pretty interesting, and I look forward to going out there and working for that company one day.
You working with the girls over there is probably like you work with some of the guys here. It's probably not much different, is it?
Well, I mean, gosh, the girls out there are so tough, so if you mean like how tough the women are in Japan, yeah, they're just as tough as any other man anywhere.
I think that's part of the shock for anybody in our business, male or female, when you go to Japan for the first time, or to work with somebody that's born and raised and trained there, they're just a little more snug. They lay things in a little bit more. And
absolutely.
They expect it in return, right?
Absolutely. They expect in return, and I would gladly give it back to them in return. You know me. You know me, Les, so.
Yes, I do.
I've seen you in action before, even live, and there's some devastating-looking forearms that you throw there. I'd hate to be on the receiving end of one of
Doc
those.
Doc said when we were talking about who our guests were tonight, I said, we were talking about you. He said, yeah, she throws some stiff arms. I said, she'd never hit me with any of them.
That's it's great.
She didn't want to. It's just because I never gave her the shot. Now, you know, excuse me. I think that's a great thing, too, about the girls over there is they take what they're doing seriously. And that's one of the things Prazak sent me, the first two Shimmer shows. And it must be fun working those because there's a lot of girls that have this, apparently, that have the same attitude that you do and work this, close to the same style.
Absolutely. I think Shimmer is one of my favorite companies to work for. I think it's a fabulous promotion and just awesome the direction they're going with women. And I really don't think there's anything much out there else like it with the besides Chick Fight over here in San Francisco, which is always a tournament. It's more a tournament style.
Right.
But same concept as female pro wrestling and kind of moving away a little bit from the diva direction. So, yeah, great company. I love working all those girls. And every time I go to Shimmer, it's just so much fun because I get to work with women or meet other women that I've always wanted to work with or meet. At the last show, Dave brought in Amazing Kong. And, you know, her work in Japan, I would love to work with her one day.
Now, I mentioned earlier, you work with a lot of guys, like on the Garage Wars and stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. You know, one thing that's kind of unfortunate is most of the female pro wrestlers on the independent circuit are very much spread out all over the United States. So over here in all pro wrestling, it's very natural for us to treat the women the same as the men, and that also means wrestling the men in the shows. And it's something I'm used to, no different. I'm very used to it, and it's almost kind of a shock when I go over to other promotions and they don't do that. But, yeah, that's normal over here at All Pro Wrestling. They treat the women exactly the same as the men. The women are not favored at all. And I think that's the way it should be because, you know, any female that's getting into this business needs to also pay her dues. Just because of our gender, I don't think anybody needs to be favored. It's a very tough sport, and there's a great history to be learned with this business. So it makes me happy when other females appreciate it.
Have you had a chance to work with Mercedes Martinez?
I have.
Yeah, she now. I've only seen her in one match, but I saw her throw her punches like a god, and I thought, yes, I like her. But she seems to work solid.
My favorite matches are with Mercedes Martinez. We had at our last Chick Fight, not the last one, but Chick Fight 4, I believe. I truly feel that Mercedes and I really had the match of the night. We really brought down the house, and she's just such an awesome person.
I'd like to see the two of you work. I really would. I think that would be a heck of a match.
Yeah, Mercedes really good. I've seen Mercedes also live in person, and wow, Shimmer just has some of the greatest women in the country.
Well, now some of the girls I saw for one and two have just been signed. What's the girl's name that broke her jawbone or whatever?
Beth Phoenix.
Phoenix, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was impressed with her, and then there's another girl they got that's down in Deep South. Now I can't think of her name either, but she was on that tape. Which brings me to the point, Melissa's had, how many dark matches have you had with WWE?
Actually, no, I haven't had any dark matches. I had one, I wrestled Victoria on Heat,
Yeah. And
I've had several tryouts or workouts. So I got to work out a little bit with Jazz, I got to work out a little bit with Molly. I've done several workouts with Fit Finley, which is my favorite. I will work out with Fit Finley anytime.
Yeah. Fit has done a heck of a job with those girls. I mean, because some of them, I know, don't even want to wrestle, to be honest about it. you know. Mm-hmm. But Fitz done a good job with those who want to. That's for sure. And you see the improvement too. But that's working with Jazz. That there's another female that I love to watch work because she's it's like watching one of the boys.
Absolutely. I wrestled Jazz on the last chick fight in the main event, and one thing I love about Jazz is that she has probably got one of the best, out of all the female pro wrestlers I know of, she has got some great aggression.
Yeah.
Especially when she's coming down the ramp, and I used to watch her, you know, on WWE. I mean, just her coming down the ramp, I'd be so scared. Like, I'd get out of that ring because she really, she looks like, I mean, her face, she looks like she's ready to whoop your butt, you know? And,
yeah, she's just, somebody.
She's real intimidating looking, you know? She's just real intimidating looking, and that she's got that's a lot more, you know, going than I could say for a lot of other female wrestlers.
They signed her back, but I have yet to see. I mean, I know she's, I guess she's working the house shows some. But I haven't seen her on any of the TVs, which surprises me.
She wrestled once on ECW so far.
Pay-per-view?
No, I don't think it was a pay-per-view. I've
read where she's run out and knocked Francine and Kelly around, but I haven't seen her. She's worked out well. You know, but it's just, she's a heck of a little hand, too, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. Great aggression from Jazz.
You have any trips planned back to Japan in the near future?
My plans going back to Japan would obviously take place next year, and hopefully for Mariko's promotion, Ibuki. I don't have any set dates yet. I think it's a little easier to go back to Japan after the holiday season, so that's coming up right now, November, December.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty exciting.
How does it work when you go to Japan? Do you have an interpreter or, you know, how do you get along with everybody else?
It's not that hard. Well, it was hard the first time I went out there, but I do know a little bit of Japanese, just kind of make my way around as far as with the wrestlers and perhaps ordering food at a restaurant or asking for directions.
Right.
So very minimal stuff, and also whenever with Mariko Yoshida, she actually speaks English pretty well. You have to talk to her slowly as if you're speaking to a child, but other than that, she's pretty fluent.
That's the way
and
I talk
she'll
to Doc.
Understand almost anything you tell her.
Less.
That's the way I talk to Doc, Melissa. Just
we could have gone
like a
through.
Child.
Yes.
We could have gone through the whole interview without that happening.
I'm sorry, she jumped out there. I couldn't help myself.
Melissa, I wanted to ask you your opinion of Daisy Hayes. She's a little feather, but you know, can she really work in the ring?
Yeah, she can. She really sticks it out there. I mean, don't let her size fool you. She's got her high flying moves, and her drop kick off the top rope kind of hurts sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
You know what? The first time I saw her, I thought, wow, somebody's gonna hurt her. You know,
mm-hmm.
but then after I watched her work, I forget who it was at first. Okay, you know, cool. I mean, yeah, she goes in there to do business, there's no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's some questions for you in the chat room before we get out of here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
In the chat room?
In the chat room. We have a live chat room going on during the show, and all the listeners come on in, and they speak to each other, and they ask questions
awesome.
Of the guests. I guess I forgot to mention that part when we asked you to do an interview. But Professor VNS, he says, question for Melissa, what is it like wrestling Mischief, and do you get any guilty pleasure in bending her into a twisted pretzel?
What? Guilty pleasure? I don't know. It's all pleasure bending her into a pretzel.
But what's Mischief
like? I
love
that I can do that to her. I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. But, wrestling her, I love wrestling Mischief because I know every time I wrestle her, I'm going to have a fantastic match, and she's definitely one of those people that allows me to just get all my aggression out.
I don't know if I've ever seen
her. Her and coming up with new ways to bend her in ridiculous positions.
Where's she from, Melissa?
She is in Missouri.
Okay.
She's pretty bendable. She's a pretty bendable person, but boy, can that girl get up there in the decibels when she screams, wow.
Yeah.
And I heard she's really quiet and real shy and polite and like, you know, off out of the ring and stuff like that. But boy, should she get up there with that voice of hers.
That's the crazy part about her. That's the crazy part, because you're right. She is quiet and, you know, very polite and easygoing with everybody backstage. But it's just so funny because it's pro wrestling. We're almost an extension of ourselves out there. And that really is her. I think that's the funny part. That really is her out there. That's the extension of herself, you know. And I'll see her, like, kind of listening to music on her iPod, and then it's got her iPod's, like, turned up high enough, it's all, I could hear it, and it's all, like, death metal and, like, speed metal, and you know, what's funny is because, like, it's like, she's really nice, but it's totally her, and it just kills me, like, oh my gosh, she's getting along with everybody, and then she'll go in the corner and listen to her death metal, blah, 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 whatever, I'm like, okay.
Right. Another question for
Ate, who's very vocal, and I saw her work once live, and I was she freaked me out. Is Sumi?
I haven't worked with Sumi yet. I think no. Wait, I think I might have worked with her in a tag or maybe
but
in a battle.
But she talks to the crowd, and just I mean, I'm thinking, whoa. And now there's somebody else that I thought she's just a child, and she's been working what 8-9 years.
Oh, I know. I thought she was like 20 years old or something, and.
Eddie Edwards, who does some tours for Noah, is her boyfriend, and she came down here. He and a couple other guys came down from Bob Evans' school up in Rhode Island to train with me for a few days, and she came along too. And they work HWA shows. So anyway, she came in to train with us, and I'm thinking, okay, and I'm talking to her like, and then I said, you know, like she's been around a year or 2 years or something. And they said, how long have you been working? Oh, 8 years. And I said, what?
Yeah.
I mean, she's, you know, but, yeah, she gets vocal and talks to the people, and I really got laughing at her.
Another question from the chat room. They say, what WWE diva, past or present, would you most like to kick in the head?
I most like to kick in the head.
Yeah.
God, I think Mickey James deserves a kick in the head. Probably does.
Oh, boy. Another one. Can you speak some Japanese for us? Order a beer for Doc Young.
What was that last part?
It said, can you speak some Japanese for us? Order a beer for Doc Young.
Order a beer for Doc Young.
Yeah, in Japanese.
Biru kurasai means... beer, please give me a beer. I don't know how to order the beer for you. I don't know how to order for you.
Poor Doc Young.
Well, you know, after purchasing stuff, you know, I usually be like, hi, TMSN, and I got the design.
I know what I need to ask you. did Yoshida make her plane and get home safely?
Yes, she did.
All right. Doc,
he is a trooper.
Doc, Melissa and her fiance had poor Yoshida just blind running. I don't know how much, it wasn't sake, I don't know what she drank, but
here's the best part, Carl Lauer, right?
Right.
Yoshida and I ran into Carl Lauer after CAC, and, of course, Carl Lauer always loves to talk about himself and promoting days and stuff he used to do. So he's just telling us, you know, how he used to, like, talk to fans and talk to them into buying drinks for the wrestlers. So I'm like, yeah, right, whatever, you know. Yay, I'm happy and everything else. And Carl Lauer, we're talking to fans, and Carl Lauer does that. He's talking to fans, and I'm like, these ladies put on a heck of a match tonight. Don't they deserve a drink? And the fans are like, yeah, they do deserve a drink, you know. And they kept on, like, buying us, like, they kept on having fans, like, buy us drinks all night long, even if we didn't even want it.
It's better to have too much than not enough.
Yes.
That's the Doc Young motto. Gene Parmesan in the chat room, he says, have you encountered any sexism or sexual harassment in your career?
Very little, but it is out there, and that's unfortunate, and that's really dumb, but I definitely don't put up with that. I put the stop to that for a second. to that very second. So.
Yeah, I think, Doc, let me, from the other side of that
sure.
point, is I think you get treated the way you act, you know. And I think if you go in and let people know I'm here for business and you know, that's what it's about, then that's the way you, but, so like she said, it's there. It's there,
and it can't be ignored, you know. And
yeah.
And I gotta say, the times that people have tried to do stupid stuff has been really kind of early on in my career when I was kind of half involved with wrestling and half not. But you know, it's just a male dominant business,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a good few years, you know, to get my name really established and put my mark down and say, hey, you know, I'm here to be a pro wrestler and I'm not going away anytime soon and you're not going to stop me by any means from reaching my goal. So.
Right. DJ Pooh Bear says, would you like to go to WWE and who do you like on the roster?
Yes, I would like to go to WWE and I personally love Fit Finlay. I want to be a female version of Fit Finlay.
You're close, kid.
So I'm already there. Am I close enough
yeah,
yet?
You're making it. You're making it. The only thing, her only problem, Doc, is reading clocks. She has, especially in Vegas, she has trouble reading clocks.
Well, please don't tell everybody this.
The cat is out of the bag.
Well,
Les, we should pitch in, and for Melissa's next birthday, we can buy her a watch that talks.
And
be like, go to the airport. Now.
Well, you should, because my birthday is in like a couple of days. So.
Oh, really?
See, Doc?
Yeah.
Now, you're in. You open your mouth.
Yeah.
Produce.
Now we got to put up or shut up.
Yeah,
I had to.
So Melissa's a Leo, just like Doc Young, of course. Yes, Leo's a rule. But happy early birthday, Melissa.
Thank you.
What date? In 2 days?
2 days.
August 17th.
All right, yeah. Cool. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking, who do you think is the most overrated female?
Overrated?
Oh. They're trying to get the claws out now. They,
I know.
They want some gossip. They're vultures over there in the chat room.
Overrated. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to...
Well, you know what? When I heard somebody say last night it was... Jerry Lawler, who will go unnamed, saying, well, I'd forgotten what a great wrestler Lita was. And I said, when was that? That's way before me. No, I mean, I like Amy. She's a nice person, but she's not a great worker.
Right.
And when I see her go to topside to do a moonsault, I want to run for my life if I'm laying there.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she taters everybody, man. I just,
Les is out there tonight.
Wow.
Here's a question I have for you, Melissa. And this might seem kind of stupid, but where did the cheerleader part come from? Because I never really see you with pom-poms.
She has the costume,
and,
man.
And I've only a couple times seen you in cheerleader skirts, and usually it's just like a different sort of skirt. But where did the whole cheerleader gimmick come from?
Yeah, that's a big old history right there in its own. It started off when when I first got into wrestling, actually after about 9 months after I've been training, there was this tag team called the Ballard Brothers, and their characters were Canadian. And remember the movie Slapshot?
Yes.
Sure.
And then remember the Hanson Brothers, these three crazy brothers?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was their characters. They were two brothers, they were not three, but they were, you know, twins. And they had the Chief jersey on and, like, the glasses, and they would put quarters or put foil on their fist. And they were just kind of imitations of the Hanson brothers from the movie Slapshot.
So were the Dudleys, by the way.
Yeah, true. And even though in hockey there's no cheerleaders, when I met them, they were just starting out that gimmick or that character, and they wanted a manager or female valet. And I met them at the right time, so I became cheerleader Melissa and started off managing and almost kind of doing like the early Lita thing where I would go in there and do the one move or the one cool move and get out. And we were the Canadians and ultra bad guys in the USA. understand, it wasn't until, you know, probably 3 years later, 3 or 4 years later, when I broke off, and then I went to Japan for 4 months. When I came back, that's when I really, like, broke off, broke away from the Ballard Brothers and just kind of stayed on my own as Cheerleader Melissa, kind of reinventing myself again as a pro wrestler on my own instead of Cheerleader Melissa with the Ballard Brothers.
Right. When you managed the Ballard Brothers, that was your pretty much first position, I guess, in APW, right?
Actually, me and the Ballard Brothers were based out of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and then that's how that got started, because the Ballard Brothers and I would drive up Northern California to work for All Pro Wrestling, and that's how I started getting involved with All Pro Wrestling, and it was great, because I really loved the training. Everybody we wrestled in All Pro Wrestling knew how to work, and were obviously very well trained,
mm-hmm.
and they put on fantastic shows, and I knew it was a company I had to be involved with, so I just found any way I could to move up to Northern California, and I did, and I never left.
Ah.
Yeah.
One more question for you. They were wanting to know in the chat room what you think of TNA, if you'd like to work for them, and what do you think of their women's division?
I would love to work for TNA, and I don't see anything, you know, wrong with the women's division. I kind of, the only thing is that the problem is that they're not doing much with women. So
yeah,
it's hard for me to say, oh, I want to go work for TNA, but why would I want to go work for a company that...
They just signed SoCal Val, didn't they?
Right, yes.
But still, I mean, how often are they really working?
Yeah, I think I think the division, if you even want to call it a division yet, it's really still in its infancy. And
yeah, well,
I think they're making plans for the future, but you know,
Hemi
really
hasn't even been
out.
In the ring.
Right.
I mean, at this point, I would say, you know, I want to go work for WWE because they have a division, and I'm guaranteed more work.
Yeah.
I would be so, it would just break my heart if you signed with WWE and they had you come out with a big mole on your face or, you know what I mean? Some real dumb gimmick or something like that. That would just break my heart.
Well, here's my plan. I do want to work for WWE, but here's my plan. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing and I'm going to improve. And I hope that I improve so much that I just become so marketable that they're going to want to sign me. You know, that's the goal.
Right.
That they're going to like what I'm about, and they're going to like what I'm about in the ring as well.
Right. Maybe have your fame precede you before you get in there.
Exactly.
That way they don't have to build you up. Excellent
exactly.
plan, Melissa. Excellent plan. We got to get out of here. We're running out of time. I really want to thank you for being on the show. It's been really great.
Before we got,
yeah, this has been great. Have fun.
Be sure to give Jason and Roland and Robert and all the boys my best. And if you talk to Dad, tell him I'm upset because I didn't get the drink at his wedding. And tell Uncle Billy, hey, if you talk to him, too.
And Melissa, I will see you in October at the Shimmer tapings.
Yes, you'll definitely be happy you went. It's going to
yes.
be a good show.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Liz, and good talking to you always.
Good talking to you too, Les.
Thanks, babe.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Cheerleader Melissa here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a little bit more news to get to. Of course, it's that time, Les. SummerSlam is coming up this weekend.
Oh, my God. It is that time.
It's that time again. We didn't do it last week because we had such a rough show. I mean, everything was just so pushed into those 2 hours that we didn't have time to play the pay-per-view prediction game. But we are going to play it this week for SummerSlam. We're going to do that. Also, Kevin Kelly coming up on Wrestling Weekly. So stick around, guys. We're going to be right back after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what
makes them so different? Well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $295 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Hope you guys enjoyed cheerleader Melissa. It's like we said, it's not very often that she gets to do an interview, so
yeah,
that was kind of special for us.
Yeah. Well, I knew it would do things for you, Doc.
Yes, absolutely.
No, really. I miss seeing her dad this year. Great guy.
Who was her dad? I don't know. I'm out of the loop.
I'm not telling you.
Okay, you can tell me off.
Figure it out on your own.
Oh.
And
yes.
Uncle Billy, I followed him around close. He won some big money on the slot machine.
Cool.
But no, you know, it's yeah. She's I'm surprised she hasn't been signed already.
Don't punish my stupidity, Les.
Huh?
Don't punish my stupidity.
That's, you know, those that got it don't get it, and those that don't have it for some reason are offered it. I don't know.
Ah, gosh.
Ah.
All right, here we go. Contract negotiations for a new deal between TNA and Monty Brown are still ongoing, but the belief within the company is that Brown is likely on his way out and could possibly be picked up by WWE.
Well,
Brown taking the loss at Hard Justice against Samoa Joe is kind of evident of that. Brown, he did, though, appear at the Impact tapings last night.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see what's up with Monty Brown. I really thought that, you know, he was, before they had moved to Thursday nights, he was getting a big push, and, I mean, he was out there. Everybody was talking about.
I would think they wanted to hang on to him, too. Of course, you know, as my dad used to say, there's nothing ever so thin. There's not two sides to it. I don't,
right.
We don't know what either side is, but the point is, I would think, as if I were the promoter, he's kind of a homegrown talent.
Yeah.
You know, you'd want to hang on to him.
Yeah.
And I, you know, but now I hear stories that, they're saying, well, he's not dedicated because he has a personal training business, which I used to have one myself before I started training, or actually before I started training wrestlers, and I phased myself out as the wrestling training, you know, became a bigger portion of my life. But it's a good living, you know, and with him having the high profile on the TV, I'm sure he gets a top buck, and it's not a bad life. You know, you're in the gym if you like that sort of thing, and he obviously does, and I did too. You know, it's you're doing something you enjoy, and like I say, it's a good living. There's some guys making some serious money at that, and you know, you can make 50, 75, 100, 150 bucks a session sometimes, and if you're doing five or six people a day, brother, you know,
yeah,
that's you know. So anyway,
that's a chunk of change, my
friend.
Well,
I mean, the point is, you can't ask him to just. It's like me saying, okay, Doc, I want you to stay with me, but you need to take quit making money outside of what you're making for me. Mm-hmm. See, and of course, I guess he doesn't work a lot of the outside shows. I don't know because of that training. I don't know. You know, you can schedule that. There again, the training business sometimes can be flexible too. You can move your people around a little bit, but. Again, it's hard to say. I think I see a future in the guy, but I just see there's a thing that they don't have a way to work people enough. That's especially somebody like that. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. I mean, he's got personality stuff, but in physically, mechanically, technically, he's going to get better by working. You know, and a couple tapings and a pay-per-view a month, and you'll get it. That doesn't. Nobody improves on that kind of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's whether a lot of these young guys are working. Well, we're working to make money. Yes, that's true. But you're also it's keeping you sharp and making you sharper. You can't get your timing and stuff down and not work. It just don't work that way.
Yeah, it really don't.
Well, I'm glad you agree.
Before we move on to SummerSlam, I do want to say, because we were talking about cheerleader Melissa's birthday coming up in a couple of days.
Yeah.
There's also a birthday coming up in the Wrestling Weekly family.
Oh, really?
Yes. Our publicist, Victoria Lee, she writes columns for us every week, and she does all our recaps and stuff like that. She writes a lot about her mom. We call her Dama. And her birthday's in 5 days. So I want to say happy birthday to Victoria Lee's mom, Dama. So happy birthday, Dama.
Well, happy birthday, Dama. You and I have never met, but happy birthday anyway.
Yes, and thanks for being part of Wrestling Weekly. Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
By the way, cheerleader Melissa's dad was named Doug. Let's move on to...
somebody in the chat room wrote that to you, I know.
No.
You know, whoever that is, a beer.
Not in the chat room, no.
Or a milk, or...
It would never happen.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But anyway, let's move on. SummerSlam's coming up this weekend, guys. It's going to be, of course, as they say, the biggest party of the year. Let's find out just how big of a party it's going to be.
I think the revelation was that they pulled the Taker and Khali's match with the idea that possibly Khali wouldn't have a good match. And I thought, really? How do you figure? I mean... Has he had a bad one? Oh, come on. All right.
You're enough, so mean, Les.
Enough of that. No. I mean, you know, it's just like, hey, I don't know. I don't know. Go on. Moving on.
Here's a weird one. It's going to be, of course, one of the matches, Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe... to keep the ball rolling, the Chavo's got to win. I mean, just the fact that he's turned, you know, he's going to turn on Ray doesn't assure that of being a big money program,
mm-hmm.
or a decent program at all. And I think Chavo has been used come see, come saw. You know, I mean, middle of the road sort of thing, right up and down. So it's
right.
Not like he's got the same star power that that Eddie had or that Ray has. You know, so they've got to make him all basically all over again, right?
Right.
Establish him. I mean, they had him doing a goofy golfer's gimmick and, you know.
Kerwin White, yes.
Yes, I am trying to forget. You know, poor Chavo, he's, I've said this before, he probably goes to a psychiatrist. I mean, he's ridden a stick horse, he's pedaled Amway, and he's been a white golfer.
Yes.
All right.
The poor guy. But you know what? It's going to be a good match.
Well,
in the ring, technically, technically, it's going to be a good match. The problem,
logic would say that Chavo needs to go over, so it'll probably be Ray.
Okay, you're going to go with Ray. I am. I'm going to go ahead and go with Chavo on this one because, if Chavo doesn't go over, they just might as well not even bring him back on TV. That poor guy should just write a book called "Poor Me," because I mean, he really has all the skills and everything, and he's just been getting such a bum deal, you know. He's been getting these horrible gimmicks, no pushes.
I'll tell you what, you know, I am all for Vicky Guerrero getting a paycheck to help support her kids, and I think the company can probably afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hate to see her involved, and the whole thing of when, and I like Shavo. I mean, I really do. And, of course, he's doing what he's been asked to do or told to do. But when he's, you know, well, I'm the one that called you when Eddie, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this whole thing and just milking it. It's been almost a year.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and so am I. And that's kind of why I'm not too interested in this match. If they could put together a bigger, a better story, to put these two guys together.
Anybody that's been a wrestling fan or any of us that were blessed to have been touched by Eddie's life in any small manner will not forget him.
Mm-mm.
You know, and it's not a and this is not the, you know, to use him as just an angle. You know, it's, I don't know. And again, if that's blood and that's family, and if they're not having a problem with it, then I'm, you know, but I just, you know, I'm uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, but it technically, I think this is going to be a good match, and a really enjoyable one, other than some of the other matches, like Hulk Hogan versus Randy Orton.
Okay.
Now, it's good for shock value. I mean, it's...
Well, if it is, you say, if you say so.
Well, yeah, you know it's not going to be a technical masterpiece.
Well, there you go, Doc. Yeah, you're right.
There's going to be a lot of stomping around. I mean, Randy Orton's pretty good in the ring. I got to admit, he's great.
Randy has got a long future if his health, if his body holds up and he stays healthy.
Yeah, he could be the future.
Does. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I'd like to say the other guy had a long future, but he doesn't. Well, I don't know. Hulk could keep coming back. Let's figure Hulk's going to get his hand raised some way or another, and I don't know what that's going to do to help Randy, but, you know, whatever floats their boat is, you know. But I said earlier about protecting young talent, and the guys who are going to be your future, you got to protect them, you know.
Right.
I'd have Cena in the gym improving his technical skills. I would have been working on Randy's personality skills after two of Hogan's those best. He's obviously not a comedic show host.
Right.
But anyway, no, I mean, you know, when I say that, everybody's got flaws, and that's the whole deal, is to play to the strong points and steer clear of the weak ones, but take it, you know, and bring the weak ones up as best you can. And,
mm-hmm.
And I don't see that, you know, I'd say that Randy's going to get a rub from Hulk if Hulk's going to get his hand, get Randy's hand raised.
Right.
You know, now they may shock us all, and that may happen. I don't know.
Now, Hulk is going to bring up the fact that, you know, you can still lose and still come out looking good.
It is true. But still, we have, whether you like it or you don't like it, and he doesn't, this is not like I'm telling out or talking out of school. He just celebrated his 53rd birthday. He has an artificial hip and an artificial knee.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy Orton is a little bit younger. And it just makes sense, you know. Again, I just think long-term business, you know, and, you know, if you're thinking seriously, and of course I'm stupid enough to be doing that, so I'll try to stop.
I agree with you that Hogan's going to come out on top on this one. He's going to get his hand raised. they're talking about, well, you know we're on a 2-minute delay, so they're still right now in the chat room talking about Rey and Chavo. But this guy Zid said the storyline should be that Chavo got on a ride at the county fair, but Rey couldn't because he wasn't tall enough. So Rey turns heel on Chavo by throwing his cotton candy at him.
Okay.
That would be a better storyline than what they're doing right now.
I mean, hey.
It struck me as funny.
Well, yeah, it is kind of funny.
By the way, in the middle of all this, VNS wants to know where he can get some really good coffee products.
At gourmetcoffeeshack.com.
Absolutely.
Try the Shack's 5-pound special.
So back to wrestling. We were talking about you can get your hand raised and you can still look good. And I think that's what's going to happen in this next match. Mick Foley versus Ric Flair in I Quit match.
You know what? I don't even know how this thing is going to fly. I really don't. They have a chance of stealing the show. When I say that, I mean that. You know, and here's a 56-year-old guy and a 40-year-old guy with the body of a 90-year-old guy.
Right.
And yet, here's the crazy thing, okay? Between them, they are probably, in terms of what should happen in the ring, two of the most intelligent people in the business currently.
Yes.
Foley, say, you know, and again, I know the whole, I read Rick's book, I read Mick's book. Okay, yeah, Rick is not Mick, and Mick is not Rick, but here's the thing all the hardcore people, you know, that go to that church and pray at that altar just need to understand. Going through a table if you watch, go back and watch Foley, he destroyed himself. He put himself through hell, but he did it when it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
He used psychology to do it. He just didn't do it for the sake of doing it. And
Ryan.
And most of the other guys are pretenders, whether they like to hear me say that or not. I don't really care. You know, I don't go to the Taipei death matches. I don't care to see them. Thank you.
Now, when people think of Mick, what they do is they bring up the steel, or not the steel cage, but the Hell in a Cell match, where Foley was thrown off the ramp through the table.
Or the 10 chair shots by Rock. But see, that's like I went to Daytona and I saw a crash. Is that all I saw in 500 miles is a crash? You get my point?
Right.
Okay.
Well, Mick Foley that night had a very good reason for doing that spot.
Well, you know what? Then you're drunker than I'll ever get, because I'd still like to know what the logical reason for that spot was.
I wouldn't say that exact spot, but he had a logical reason for doing a big spot, and that's because The Undertaker had a broken foot and really couldn't do anything.
Well, I don't know that it was necessary to try to commit suicide.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
He felt
like he had to.
I wouldn't either. Take my word for it.
Who do you
First
think?
Of all, I don't ride Ferris wheels.
Right.
I don't do heights.
Right, me neither.
So you'd never catch me on top of that cage. I don't give a damn.
You would catch me on top of the cage, flat on my stomach, holding on for dear life moving.
First of all, I couldn't climb up there.
Oh, that's true.
without something around me.
Yeah, I'd be
anyway,
like...
that's the, no, but I mean, honestly, this match is I think sentimentally, I don't know. We'll see. It depends. I think, I don't know what they'll do. I think Mick would become closer to putting Rick over if it makes sense for the business. And since Rick is still wrestling, it kind of does make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Ric Flair on this one.
Okay.
To be the victor. And you're going to
I'm going that way. And the reason I'm going that way is because going into this thing, you're supposed to think this is Foley's match, right? So he can't lose his match, right?
Right.
This is like when I challenged Terry Funk, and Terry Funk, you know, Les Thatcher, I've never lost a Texas death match.
Right.
And if we dwell on that, you pretty might think that maybe he's going to lose this one.
Right.
But, I mean, the point, that's the whole point, right, is the chicanery.
Mm-hmm.
The going in the direction you don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
So you're going to go with Flair?
Yeah, I think I will.
All right. We have to zip through the rest of this because we've got Kevin Kelly coming up.
Come on, bro.
D-Generation X versus the McMahons.
I only can hope that it's D-Generation X.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with you on that.
That's that's
McMahon's win. I mean,
that whole thing is losing some of its steam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And quickly.
Well, you did everything possible, right?
They did. They didn't stretch it out. But, of course, it wasn't supposed to be really long-term either. So.
Well, no, but, I mean, you know, it's just, well, see, I mean, this, you know, the sad thing, and I can't stress this enough, is Hunter and Sean together, man, it's a hell of a babyface tag team. And the sad thing is that they don't have M&M together to work with him, or they don't give him Cash and Noble, or they don't, you know, I'll tell you, put the damn Bashams out there, because Doug and Danny can go, brother. I mean, and with these guys, and see, that's part of the art of the business, too. There are two talented young men who are running around with police masks on, and you can't see their face. Mm-hmm. And but with the rub from Michaels and Helmsley done the right way, they could get those guys, rebuild those guys, but. And it's not that nobody in the company knows how. My God, do you realize the brain power there?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, who aren't part of creative. I'm not talking about creative now. I'm talking about those who aren't part of creative. But, I mean, yeah, and it comes back to, yes, if you're a good worker, you can lose, and if the angle's right. But you can also lose and not get over, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's so, yeah, it's, you know, and see, I could see the injured warrior almost pulling it out and letting Randy win, because there's a story to that too, right?
Yeah.
It's like the old Warhorse quarterback coming off the bench and just almost gets that touchdown but doesn't quite.
Yeah.
You know he gave it everything he had, but it's his time, right? And it's, well, anyway, that, again, I'm trying to be logical and all. Please forgive me.
Yeah, stop doing that, Les.
Okay.
This is a family show.
I know.
World Heavyweight Championship match, King Booker versus Batista.
I got to keep it with Book.
I am, too. I'm going to go with Book on this one. I have to agree with you. I like the way Booker's going. Batista's just getting back. He's probably got some ring rust. He's going to need to be built back up a little bit.
Well,
I think
he's over the people. I don't know that he needs the belt necessarily. Plus, I like the heel with the, I'm more the heel, keeps, you know, has the belt for the majority of the time, and the babyface chases.
Right.
Okay.
Next up is the WWE Championship. It's between Edge and John Cena.
Mm-hmm. I keep the belt on Edge. I think he's doing a pretty good job.
I definitely think.
Adam is a strong heel, I think. And you know what? I don't think they need all the other stuff. Like I say, had they built something up to John's dad that made sense, I would have been all, yeah, that's cool, I'm for it. Been there, I've seen it done, you know,
mm-hmm.
and done well. But again, there was no, and it just to say, okay, yeah, well, that's cool. Somebody runs into my house and beats me up, and I think I'll call the police. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and only brought a cameraman to document it for the police. And how nice is it?
See, but in wrestling, you don't handle
and
it with the police.
And he showed this to several million people. You think somebody might have recorded it? I don't know.
In wrestling, you don't handle it with the police. You handle it with your two fists.
Yeah, okay.
In the ring, like men.
I watch too many old Roy Rogers movies, too. I used to watch those, too.
But I definitely agree with you that Ed should win,
yeah.
And that's why I'm going to go with Cena on this one.
Okay. Whatever.
I'm going to make it a little interesting.
You just love throwing cold water on me. I know. I know how you are.
It's no fun if we agree all the time.
I know.
So I'm going to go with Cena on that. Check it out, guys. It's SummerSlam this Sunday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on pay-per-view. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, our featured guest, Kevin Kelly, is going to be on the line.
You better keep your fingers crossed. Before we take a break,
yes.
Kevin has a real job, works in the real world, and he was called into a business meeting. So if he's out at the business meeting, we may have Kevin Kelly.
Yes.
And if he's not, we may have to reschedule him.
Yes.
But if not, we
have some more news to get to.
Yes, we do.
And I'll probably plug my appearance
this
Friday at the...
Yes, by God, we could spend the next half hour on the... Don't, I won't say that. We'll chase half the chat in the mouth. Go ahead, take the break. Let's move on with our lives.
FrontierElitewrestling.com, thanks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, like we said, Kevin Kelly, hopefully. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
It's like a pulse.
that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest from the world of wrestling is former WWE employee Kevin Kelly's on the line. Kevin, thanks for being on the show.
Doc, Les, it's great to be on with you guys. And we were talking just a little bit ago during the break here, and we're going to share some stories. I'm going to tell you just how great Les was.
That's going to cost me.
And then I will receive a big old check in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, Doc, how one of the highlights of working in WWE development was sharing part of my experiences with Kevin Kelly. And then that nullifies the check.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I tell you what. One of the best best times I ever had in the wrestling business was one of the most recent experiences I had, and that was when, Les, we were down in Oklahoma in Tulsa, and I sat round table, and Doc, I wish you could have been there to see it, because Les, Dr. Tom, Terry Taylor, Jerry Lynn, Jim Cornette, and Cowboy Bill Watts were all sitting around this table.
I wish I could have been there too, yes.
And, I mean, I just sat back, and Charlie Haas was there with me, and I could, you know, but Charlie and I were just silent observers, and I elbowed Charlie like, can you imagine? Think about the history and the experience and the knowledge that is around this table right now.
Oh, yeah.
And if we could take it and take all of their knowledge, experience, and bottle it and give it to or sell it to everybody in the wrestling business, the business would be so much better than it is. Everybody would be so much smarter than they were, and we'd be real rich. Because it was, I'll tell you, school was in session that day, Les, and I really enjoyed listening to you guys. You weren't philosophizing too heavily. You weren't teaching too much, but you could just tell that the love and the passion for the business that you know, has been in you guys' hearts for all these years was still there.
You know what? And to me, that's sadly the thing. It has become too much of a business, and there's not enough love and passion left, Kevin.
It and they found ways to, you know, and I know that when you're a public company, you have to manage your assets appropriately, but even the WWE's some of the more recent things that have gone on, they found ways to even take some more of the love out of the business and make it harder and make the guys more indecisive. Les, I would imagine, and this was one thing I always wanted to ask you, when you guys were out there, when you were doing it night after night, town after town, was there this constant cycle of evaluation that the young guys have to go through today?
Oh, you know, it was, wow. Yeah, yes and no. You know, it wasn't as conscious, but I think everyone, well, you know, like as myself as a young guy, the first time I went into the Carolinas, I knew I was being graded. You know, the first time I worked for Barnett and Doyle out of the Indianapolis office or Kansas City for Geigel and O'Connor. But then you just, after that, you kind of fit in. But, you know, you just, so much of the things that we took, I shouldn't say took for granted, things that just were never actually, Doc and I have talked about this, Harley and I have talked about, Steamer and I have talked about, things that we just knew. Don't I couldn't even get to tell you, we're just, I shouldn't say taken for granted, but we're, you know, you figured out are things that we have to teach today.
Right.
And I think that's where the whole thing of territories, there should be 20 more Deep South, well, not 20, but, you know, a bunch more Deep South and OVWs, because, and instead of, well, you know, let's back up to the HWA when we had the opportunity to work together. Now, at that point, they were like, at one time, I had Raven, Venus, D-Lo, Haku, Dreamer, along with some good, solid, you know, contract talent and some of my own guys. But the young guys could learn from these guys.
Right.
And that's, today, the problem is, you know, somebody will say, well, that guy is staying on OVW. Well, he's worked with the same damn guys over and over and over and over. You can't. If you can't get past that, then you can't develop.
Right, and that's the one thing where I know that when I was, you know, when JR kind of put us in charge of, you know, what we were doing, Les, it was each group was its own independent company and had to, you know, run events and do TV and do all the things that the learning tools were there. But keep in mind, too, there was, in addition to HWA, there was OVW, there was Puerto Rico, which was a very loose group, but was still was part of the developmental system, and Rick Bassman's outfit out there in Southern California, along with, just before HWA, they had a territory they tried out in Memphis as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at one time you had four different areas and four different styles and four different teachers and four different opportunities to learn and work in front of crowds. And now, really, there's just the one in OVW, Deep South, another, that's really just getting up and going. But at this point, they should have 10.
Yeah,
because they went backwards. They had four in 99. Now you've got to teach guys more than before. There should be 10. They should have spread instead of contracting.
Sure. Well, it's a numbers game, as you and I. I mean, if you work in it, you can't look at it any other way. You can find 100 great bodies and great personalities, but you may not be able to teach 10 of those guys actually the business as the business should be taught. And I think that's part of the problem now. We were talking about earlier tonight. I said, you know, you got to protect your young guys on the law. We were talking about putting Orton in against Hogan. Well, you know, it's like you want to guess who's going over.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and yeah, I don't see. You know, I can see the rub. I was saying to Doc, I said, you know, to me, it's like the old quarterback coming off the bench for one last run, and you see him get you to the goal line, but he just falls short. But that doesn't kill that old quarterback. That actually makes him more loved in the people watching his eyes.
Right. See, I always think about the example of Tully Blanchard in a program he did down in San Antonio with Andre the Giant. Told everybody he knows that Andre can beat him. He knows he can't beat Andre, but he can survive 10 minutes with Andre. And that's something that very few can do.
Right.
So the idea, they finally get to the match, and Tully runs and is chased the entire time. And finally there's a little bit of distraction, and somehow he slips out of the hold. Survives the 10 minutes, and then at 10:01, you know, Andre with the big squash, and that's the end of it.
Right.
But he did survive the 10 minutes, but he did say what he was going to do, and that was survive. There's so many different ways that they could do it. I hope, and I always do this, I always say before any of these matches, I always say, gosh, I hope they can do the right thing for both sides. You know, I always have that Pollyanna view of this world, Laz. I think it's my problem. I'm too much of an optimist.
Well, you know, Doc makes us do pick a winner before these pay-per-views, right?
Yeah.
And so I've just come to the point now that I say, well, what makes logical pro wrestling sense, I'll go against because nobody pays attention to that anymore.
I know it. Isn't that so scary? And I have friends of mine here where I live in Pennsylvania, and they're all big fans and going back to the day, and they all, of course, say, geez, it's not like it was back in the old days, less of 97, 98. You're right.
Yes.
20th century.
I love that one. That's pretty bad.
There even seems to be, you know, a lot of my experience, and Doc, I know you could probably appreciate this because you've been on the listening end of a lot of great stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned this business. You know, one of the first things I got to do was drive Blackjack Mulligan around the car in Florida.
Right.
And that was, you know, school was in session. And, you know, like I shared the story about being in Tulsa and riding with Cornette, you know, because he hates to fly, so ride with Cornette up to Syracuse and listen to him complain and bitch and moan about everything for 6 hours one way. Then, well, guess what? We've got 6 hours to get home, and it was the same, but it was new. It was different. He just found different things to complain about for 6 hours.
Yeah.
But made total sense and was proven right by this series of events that, you know, transpired over the weeks, months, years to come. He was right on everything that he said.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I always say to my friends, you know, they ask me questions. They go, well, don't you miss it? And I go, well, no, not really. I love what I'm doing now, which is, I work in radio, and I sell airtime, and I build relationships, and I develop it with clients, and, you know, I tell stories and have fun and work with them. But I look back at the time when I worked with Les, and I worked with Cornette, and I worked with Danny Davis, and I worked with Dr. Tom, and did all the great stuff that I did, and go, man, I couldn't have paid money to go to college and gotten a better education than I did. Do I have any regrets? Absolutely not. Would I do it again? Yes, in a heartbeat. But I can't go back in time. We can't go back and do what we did. We have the memories and the experience that we shared and we lived, and that's really what the best part of it is.
Now you were talking about Mully, and I've told Doc, and I'm going to try to get him to do the show with us, and I know he doesn't like doing these sort of
things. Yeah, I know.
But tell the truth, tell Doc, tell the people listening to this, was this guy one of the best? Nobody ever talked. They talk about Superstar Billy Graham, talk about all these guys are being great interviews. Mulligan was one of the damn very best.
Oh, I mean, just the passion and the conviction in his eyes, and we always teased him for naming the individual members of the family and loading them up in the pickup truck, and we were like, you know, but he commanded the audience to buy tickets to come to the live event. And that was, to me, that was his finest skill. He never forgot, tell him to come downstairs. I had a friend of mine coming over, so. The glint in his eye, he would kind of squint that one eye, and he'd look into the camera, and he would, you know, you could tell he had been in a lot of fights, and his mustache, and he looked like the man of the people. And got you to believe every word that he said, and that's what made him such a great, great man on the microphone, and a great storyteller, and a great character. He shared a story down in Florida. They were building up the rivalry between Dusty and Mulligan and Leroy Brown and Kareem Muhammad, Ray Candy, building up for the show in the Orange Bowl. The right thing for business that night would have been for Dusty and Mulligan to drop the fall, but that was the plan, and Dusty, of course, changed it. And Mulligan knew it was bad for business. And after that, bad Leroy Brown and Ray Candy, they, you know, didn't draw. And eventually the team was let go, and Mulligan saw Ray Candy several years later and told him, said, God, I had such a regret about what happened that night in the Orange Bowl. Oh, you know. Geez, Jack, it's not your worry, you know, don't worry about it, it's okay. And so this was in 1992, I guess it was, maybe 1993, we got word that Ray Candy had passed away. So we called Jack at home, because we remembered that story that he had shared with us in the car. And the same passion that he told people to buy tickets and come to the arena, he shared that same passion about that story about Ray Candy. And I knew that he had great regret, and always felt that way in his heart. So we called him and just say, hey, listen, Jack, you know, I don't know if you'd heard, but Ray Candy passed away tonight. He was so, you know, he had tears in his voice on the phone. And that's that genuine, caring person that he always was and is to this day. You know, wasn't without his faults or foibles like all of us. But, you know, that's that passionate man, you know, that I learned so much of the business from when I was first getting started.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I think the big, the thing that, Doc, we did a thing. Kevin and I put our heads together, and for the week, we did a thing, I just named it the gauntlet, but we would set, like Doc, we'd set you up at behind the desk in our conference room at our gym, right? Mm-hmm. We'd set the TV camera up, and outside the door, we'd be in line of 16, 17, anybody was at training that particular day, right?
Right.
Okay, Kevin's the first one around the corner, and he just starts a conversation. You don't know where he's going with this, but you've got to fall into it and play off of him. You guys ride it until you think you've milked it for what you can. You try. Then Kevin tries to get out of there gracefully. Now, if I'm the second guy, I've been listening outside the door. I hear the conversation. Now, I can pick it up where you guys left off, or I can take him in another direction, or take you in another direction, but you've got to play off each one of those people coming through the door.
Sort of like Chinese telephone.
I guess. I don't know. But the point was you had to be creative to do it, right?
Right, right.
And so now they're taking guys like Foley and Flair and trying to script them, and it makes no sense because you can't. Terry Funk says it best, Kevin. He said, you know, the guy may be able to read a script, but if you actually turned him loose, what could he do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never find out, and because he can't read a script, he may not get the break, and if you turn him loose, you may find out he's the next Flair or the next Foley.
Sure, and you know, talking about Flair and Foley for SummerSlam and the comparisons with Flair Funk and their I Quit match in 89, you know, if there were television writers controlling what Flair and Funk said that night, that match would not have been as great as it was.
No.
They probably would have tried to script Terry Funk's responses on the microphone while he's in the grips of the figure four. You know, and Funk had those great lines, my leg, it's breaking. You know, and for him to, that probably would have been, well, why don't you try to say it like this, Terry? You know, and Terry would have said, oh, I'll say it any way I want, and would have, you know, whipped it with a towel.
Right.
Thrown a chair at him. But And just that whole drama, I hope that they, and again, there I go back to Pollyanna, I hope that they allow Foley and Flair to do what they can do, albeit, you know, probably not as physically gifted as they could have been 5, 10, or 15 years ago. But from a psychology standpoint, that match can be superior to anything that we see the whole rest of the night at SummerSlam.
You know what? I just told him that. I said, this match, these guys, I said, you got a 56-year-old guy, and you got a 40-year-old guy with a 90-year-old body, and I said, yet these guys could steal the show if they turn them loose.
And remember a few years ago in WCW, they had those Legends matches. And one of the reasons why they stopped doing them in WCW was that the Legends matches were better than some of the main card matches that they had. And, you know, it was all guys in 40s, 50s, 10, you know, 5 or 10 years removed,
sure,
some even more. But, again, that knowledge and knowing how to do what to do at the right time, not, you know, it's not multiplication. It's not how many times can I do it, Doc. It's what to do, right time, when to do it, right place, right positioning. And exactly. That's you, Doc, you're in a great spot. You really are, because you get to listen.
I'm under the learning tree here.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, we just have to continue to instruct guys, young and old in the business, to make sure that the history and the knowledge and the way of doing things the right way that Les preaches, that Harley preaches, that Dr. Tom, you know, Steamboat preaches, all these guys preach, that this continues to get propagated throughout the independents. I mean, Les, this weekend is coming up. I'm going to Rhode Island just to help out Bob Evans at a little training thing we're doing, and all I'm going to do is the same things that you taught me to do in HWA with having the guys do promos and, you know, the way to do different exercises and things like that. That's all I'm going to do, and just spend a couple hours and work with them. And
I was up there. Bob runs a pretty good school, I think.
Yeah.
And he sent a few guys down to spend 2 or 3 days with me, and I was up there. It's been a year and a half ago. I had a good time, and we had a good crew to work with.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of good young talent. So it's, you know, it's a good chance to get out of the house for a Saturday and you know, take a ride with a buddy of mine, and we'll go there and see what kind of fun we can have. But again, that's what I have to do at this point. I have to take, it's my job. If I know the right way to do things, and it's not because, you know, Doc, it's not because I know, it's because I was told the right way,
mm-hmm,
by all of these different teachers that I've had.
Right.
And it's my job now. I have to tell young guys what my teachers taught me.
Right.
Because if I don't do that, then my teacher's work is for naught. I have to. They didn't just tell me to tell me. They made me better by doing it.
Right.
But if, think about, you want to talk about multiplication. How many less stature lessons can he instruct himself? Only a finite number.
Right.
But if I take everything that I learned from Les, and if I tell, and then they tell, and then they tell, now the entire world hears the same thing that one man has told. And it's that idea of paying it forward. We all have to do that in this wrestling business.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to cut you off there, Kevin.
You don't do it. Yeah, no.
we're running out of time.
I don't get paid by the hour. You know, listen.
I know, but there's another show coming up behind us, and they
okay.
They get feisty. Listen.
I know.
But let's, we were cut short this time, but let's do it again sometime. We'll take some more time, and I've enjoyed it, man.
Yeah,
really,
we'll get some chat room questions next time.
We'll
have you back next month. Is that good?
That would be great. Just let me know, because I've got this third week of every month is a board of directors meeting, so if we could schedule it for another week. I could spend more time with you.
That'll
cool.
work.
All righty.
All right.
Well,
give
Bob Evans my best. God bless you, Kevin. Love talking to you, man.
All right. Same here, Les. Take care, guys.
Bye, Kevin. Kevin Kelly here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We got to wrap it up. We're against the wall on time here.
Next week we got Georgia Ann Macropoulos and the assassin Joe Hamilton to talk about his book and about what's going on in Deep South and so forth and so on.
Yes, good stuff. Also, check out LesThatcher.com, EPWT.com, and, of course, ObsessedWithWrestling.com. We thank them.
And, of course, the GourmetCoffeeShack.com,
new sponsor to the show.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget, send your feedback to DocYoung at 999 at Hotmail.com. Doc Young and Les Thatcher, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.